You'll never thirst for the inferior again once you taste and see how good the Lord is. How many have discovered that? There's just no one that can satisfy you like Jesus. Amen. He's the satisfier of our souls. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Isn't God good?
Amen.
I love His presence. I love to be, like the song says, in your presence with your people singing praises. I love to stand and rejoice, lift my hands and raise my voice. You set my feet to dance and you fill my mouth with song. You give me reason to rejoice. How many remember that one? Rejoice? Okay, you're dating yourself now. So, yeah. Hallelujah. But the message is still true today. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's with us. He promised whenever two or three gather together. You know, I really believe it's possible for us to gather together in His name and miss Him. How many know what I'm talking about? People can come to church and miss Jesus. Because their mind's somewhere else, their heart's somewhere else. But if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be opened unto you. If you really want to know Him, He'll reveal Himself to you. But He's of the utmost value. He is our exceeding great reward. He is our treasure. And if we seek, we'll find. I want to know you, Lord. Hallelujah. I know a lot of kids grow up in church and they learn about Jesus, but we want our kids to know Jesus. Amen. There's a lot of adults that learn about Jesus, but we need to know Jesus. We need to know Him personally. We're going to need to go beyond the sacred page, the living Word. Amen. Because this written Word is to reveal the living Word. Amen. So you'll know Him. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it cool that God chose words to communicate to us and also how we communicate to one another? And you can't see words, but words are powerful. Isn't that amazing? Because words are a spiritual force. A word that's released has spiritual power of life or death. And when we align our words with the will and the purpose of God and we speak the Word of God, there's life. Jesus said, these words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. He meant they are life-giving. And so that's awesome. And when we are worshiping God and we are offering back to Him praise and thanksgiving and out of gratitude from our hearts, you know, we just appreciate. How many appreciate the Lord and all He's done in your life, right? So that's what we're doing. We're just offering it to Him. And He treasures, you know, our prayers. He treasures our worship. It's as a sweet incense before God. Amen. That's why I want to open my mouth and give praise. I want to offer to God the fruit of my lips. Because it's a sweet incense before Him. And, you know, I'm going to say this again, but I heard a really great definition of worship. And that is, whatever we do to love God back.
Yep.
How many are loving God back? I want to love Him back with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength. I want to love God back. I'm thankful for all He's done in my life, and I want to love Him back for the rest of my days. Amen? I'm sick of loving me. I want to love God. And if you really love yourself, you'll love God. Amen? Because when you encounter God, God loves you. And if you want to really do yourself a favor, get over yourself, you know, and focus on Him. If you want to be blessed, bless God. If you want to be blessed, bless somebody else. Never be a Christian for yourself.
Amen.
That's life. I want to be a Christian for you. I want to be a Christian for the kingdom. I want to be a Christian for Jesus. Amen. And in that is life. Scripture this morning is from Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28, one verse. And we began this on Wednesday night. The title of today's message is The Ancient Landmarks. The Ancient Landmarks. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version here. Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. Again, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. These landmarks are historical boundary stones that people place to establish borders of their property. As you know, we all, if we own property, we have boundaries. We have property lines. Some people use fences. But scripturally speaking here, they use stones often to mark boundaries of their property. Now, the thieves were those who would come in and move those boundary stones and take what was not theirs. It's interesting. Have you ever thought about this? But it really opens up so much when we start to think on and pray on and ask the Holy Spirit to give us the revelation of this. What does it mean to move the ancient landmarks that our fathers have established? And we think about our nation and how America has been founded. And you know, really, folks, I don't care what the critics say. America was founded on the Word of God. And almost half of those who wrote the Declaration of Independence were seminarians. They were ordained ministers. And everything in our Constitution is supported by the Word of God, by Scripture. That's what we were founded on. And now we are reinventing things in America. We are reinventing things in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our schools. We're removing the old landmarks and we're setting new boundaries. And, well, I don't really like that stone right there, so I think I'm going to move it somewhere else. Whenever you begin to tamper with established boundaries, you are setting yourself up for disaster. When you begin to tamper with the eternal Word of God, you are setting yourself up for disaster. The Word of God was given to us to establish boundaries so that we could be protected from predators. The Word of God was given to us, amen, to keep us, to give us wisdom and direction for our lives. Most of us and probably have had some kind of run-in with neighbors maybe through the years, some of you might have, where there was a dispute over boundaries, over where those landmarks actually are. I remember a brother, I won't mention his name, he's not here anymore, but I remember he just took the liberty one time and thought, I kind of like that little spot over there, and he just moved the boundary lines, you know. I say, dude, I don't think you should be doing that, man. And, you know, of course, the neighbor didn't like that too much. Why? It was illegal to move that boundary stone. It's taking something that doesn't belong to you. So it is, whenever we remove the boundaries that God has given us in His Word, it's illegal. And whenever you disobey God, you give legal permission to your enemy, the devil, to mess you up. And today we're reestablishing things, or we're rediscovering things in America, and we're kind of writing up new laws that, well, those are the old archaic laws and ways that we used to look at things back then, but that's old and dusty now. We need to rediscover what is really true. And how many know that truth remains? It does not change. God remains. He doesn't change. He is the truth. And so we're in trouble because we are removing those boundaries that God had placed to protect this nation. But also He has given boundaries for your own personal life. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is the one who will whisper in your ear and say, what are you doing? Don't mess with the Word. Don't twist the Word so that it fits your lifestyle. Instead, you must conform to Christ. You must be changed by the Word. You see, we talk about getting into the Word. Yeah, I'm going to get into the Word. Well, we've got to get the Word in us. Amen. We need to be changed by the Word. And we know that Word is the living Word. Amen. But when we come to an agreement with what is written and we say, God, it is good, it is true, it is delightful, it is good for my soul, it is what you have established, your words are forever settled in heaven, you do not change. When you decree something because you are a righteous king, it is forever settled, and therefore I must align myself with what you say. And my life will be built on the foundation, amen, of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. What were the prophets speaking to? They were speaking of Christ. What were the apostles doing? They were taking the truth of Jesus and they were spreading it around and telling people, this is what God has to say about it. Quit being wise in your own understanding. Quit establishing your own boundaries. Understand what God has to say about it. If you want to be wise, if you want to be safe, if you want to be saved, you better listen to his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They don't redefine God. There's a perversion today of redefining God. Well, to me, God's like this. And to me, God's like that. No, God is who he is. He doesn't change. Well, we wanted to redefine everything today, you know. Well, it's not culturally relevant, so we just need to redefine things now. So that, you know, we kind of just fit right into society. Because, you know, society knows best. Hollywood knows best, you know. Yeah. That's a lie, isn't it? I don't care what laws are passed, folks. If it contradicts or goes against what God has established in his word, those ancient boundaries, folks, it's an illegal law. Amen. There is a higher law, amen, what God says. And there are even Christians who are just kind of going with the flow, you know. Why? Because we want to be tolerant and we want everybody to like us. And we just want to be friendly and get along with everybody. How many know that the truth is an offense? Not that we are deliberately being offensive, but when you live for the truth and when you really, really, really love people, you tell them the truth. If you see somebody stepping into an area or maybe pulling out in front of traffic and you've got a horn in front of you, what are you going to do? You're going to lay on that horn and say, hey, pay attention. You're heading for trouble. If we don't care, we'll just say, that's what you get for not paying attention. You know, folks, do we really love? Do we really love people enough to pay a price of being unpopular with them so that we can tell them the truth that's going to help them to be free? Or are we kind of buying into this stuff that's being fed to us today through the media that we all just need to be tolerant and get along and hold hands and sing kumbaya and we are the world, we are the people? It's a lie. There is no peace to the wicked. And the heart of man is desperately wicked. Apart from Christ, we are wicked. We are monsters apart from Jesus Christ. We're born that way. We're born sinful. And Jesus came with a gospel of love. And his love is this. Listen, I've made a way for you to escape. I made a way for you to be free from the consequences of your sinful choices. So you can be forgiven and you could be with me forever. Forever. Isn't that great? God made a way where there wasn't any way. Folks, we have to be careful because there is great deception today. There's great deception in the church. God has not changed. His word has not changed. God still hates sin. Jesus didn't just come to forgive us. He came to set us free from sin. So we're no longer under the power of sin, so we can live unto Him. Amen? Not constantly sitting in this place of, did I do enough? Did I did good enough? Am I good enough? No, you're never going to be in your own self. You have to receive the truth of His love, the truth that says, in Christ, I am no longer who I was. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
Hallelujah.
All things have passed away. I've been born again. That's my truth. That's my reality in Jesus. I am a new creation. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. And therefore, I can serve my Father. Amen. And when I fall down and skin my knee, He's there to help me. Amen. And when I blow it, I can run to Him and say, Father, I'm sorry. And He says, I forgive you, son. The price has already been paid.
Yeah.
Amen. If you're waiting for yourself to be perfect, you'll never serve God. The problem is we're too sin conscious. We're too thinking about sin instead of thinking about God, His blood and His righteousness and what He's made available to us. Magnify Jesus and what He's done, the work of the cross. Amen. Don't magnify sin. If you magnify your sin, it will get bigger and it will consume you. You see, that's what the law did. The law magnifies sin. So we realize that we're sinners and we run to Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
For mercy. I'm free today. How about you? I'm no longer who I was. I'm not who I'm going to be either. God's working. But you know, I'm not living in this place of condemnation and fear and did I do enough? Are you hearing me? See, that's what the enemy does. He accuses you constantly. Doesn't he? He's good at reminding you of where you've blown it. You know? Why? So that you will condemn yourself and you'll just get into this pity party and feel like, well, God doesn't love me because look how bad I am. And how many know that God loved you when you were still bad? He loved you first. It was His idea. Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. Jude 1:3 says, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you, Jude chapter 1 is one chapter in verse 3, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, urging you or exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Because Satan is the one who wants you to remove the landmarks, the established boundaries. And redefine what is true today. Well, that was true back then, but now we have a new truth. You got to get with the times, they tell you, you know. How many know that there's nothing new under the sun? It's the same old lie from the very beginning. The same deception that Satan used against Eve in the garden in Adam. Our lives need to be established. And the only way you're going to have foundation, you're going to have stability, you're going to have an established life with a future that is secure, is to be established in the truth. To know what is true. To discover what is true. What is authentic. What is real. That's what it means, what is really real. The more that we come to an understanding of what is real, the less the enemy can dupe us. And when he comes around with his lies, you say, wait a minute, that doesn't line up with what God said. That's illegal. I speak to the hand, right? We're not going there. How many have found that these messages are helpful? How many are practicing these? How many are realizing that, you know, when you discover what is true, what God says about you, and you begin to just accept that and believe just that, you can walk in freedom. You're not going to walk in freedom if you're just trying harder, because that's a work of your flesh. But it is a matter of faith. That means believing God, believing what is true. It is a matter of life and death, but it is based upon what is true. It's a war of truth. That's what it is. The demons know it too. They operate in the darkness. They operate in the areas of ignorance in our lives where we don't know what God says about things. That's where they continue to hang out and operate. Are you hearing me? And mess with your head. And when you discover, that's why they keep people out of church. They come up all kinds of reasons. Many times the devils are talking a lot, you know. And they're constantly talking to people. They just start to make steps in the right direction. And all of a sudden, he'll just raise something. Because he knows where we're weak. He knows where we're vulnerable. And he'll just hit you. He'll blindside you with something to get you off course. He's trying to rob people, especially our young people today, from the truth. He doesn't want them to know what's true. I heard someone testifying yesterday at the Glory Barn about, you know, the fact that even in town, one of the young men that was his grandson was going to different youth groups. I think he went to eight, he told me at one time, different youth groups. But he says there's hardly any of them that are teaching the Word of God. It's all about play, entertainment. And so why our kids are so messed up? Because they don't know what's real. They don't know what's authentic. And so they're just going by what the media tells them or what their friends say. Oh, is that cool? That's popular? That's what we're supposed to do? Come on. So the enemy's constantly trying to rob people from what God says. And then even when we do hear what God says, he comes along and he says, did God really mean that? He's being a little harsh by setting those boundaries in your life. Just pick that stone up and move it a little bit. Make a little variance. Give yourself some grace. See, God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. But the grace we give ourselves says it's okay to sin. I just go to God and say, I'm sorry, Jesus, please forgive me. You know, you've heard it said it's always easier to, you know, apologize and ask for permission. That's a lie. Because there are consequences for the wrong choices we make. How many know that's true? We can all attest to that. It always makes sense, even common sense, to listen to God, to listen to his word. And if my opinion is getting in the way, guess what has to go? I need to change my thinking. I need to change my views. I need to repent of my ways. I love the word of God. I love the truth because it's the truth that keeps me free. You know, we have to keep reminding ourselves, too. How many have discovered that if you get out of this word for a while, all of a sudden things start getting fuzzy again? So the enemy is going to constantly work on you and I to keep us out of this word because he wants you to get into that fuzzy area or that gray area of your life. Because why? He can operate in the gray. He can operate in the dark. So he's constantly trying to pull us out of fellowship with Jesus, to pull us into the shadows. We need to avoid, hear this folks, the temptation to jump into every new thing that people and even certain churches are doing today. You know, folks, there's a lot of churches today that have gotten even into blatant New Age occultic practices. Some of them very large churches. Because they ignore the clear teachings of Scripture. God has established certain boundaries and ways for us to know what is true and what is of Him and what is not of Him. God, through His Holy Spirit and the Word of God working together, gives us this thing called discernment. And if we ever need discernment, it's a thing we need today. Amen. We need discernment in the church because there are counterfeit signs and wonders and miracles and all kinds of stuff that's going on in the church that's being supposedly by the Holy Spirit, but it's a different spirit. It's a different Jesus. Why? Because they're teaching a different gospel. Be very careful, folks. There are people who want the power of God, but they don't want holiness. And if you don't want to be holy, but you want God's power, you will get a counterfeit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit does not dwell in an unclean temple. He won't function through a filthy temple. A sinful person's life, amen, has to be brought under the blood of Jesus Christ, has to be brought under submission to God's authority, and then God will cleanse, and then God will fill. Are you hearing me? But if we want to live in rebellion and do it my way and have all my cake and do it, you know, but still have it my way. No, you're going to get into error. You're going to get into trouble. I shared this with you on Wednesday, and I'm still trying to move towards where we're at today. But David Wilkerson years ago, he had his church do a test. He had his church do a test. And in the test, he said, how many of you want holiness? I want you to stand on this side of the auditorium. And how many of you want power? I want you to get on this side of the auditorium. And most people went over on the power side. But, hear it, you need both. You need both, amen? You need holiness and power. But the problem is that some people live on one side or the other. They're either so, you know, stricklers about doing the right thing and being so right and being so holy, but there's no power. That's legalism. Are you hearing me? They live by the letter of the law, but they don't have the Spirit of God. But the law and the Spirit bring us together in Christ. You understand? It's through the letter, it's through the law, it's through what is written, sorry, that we come to know the living Word. And so we need, the church needs to have the power, the authentic power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we can destroy the works of the devil. And we can walk in victory. But folks, be very careful, because today there is a different gospel that offers people salvation without repentance. And there is no salvation until a person comes to the end of themselves, and they are contrite and broken in their heart before God, and realizing that they are in trouble. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It's beginning to wake up and realize, oh God, I'm in trouble, and I need mercy. I need Jesus Christ in my life, and I need Him to forgive me. And I'm willing, Lord, to give my life to You. Amen. Not this thing I'm going up and every week, every other week to get saved, but I mean business, and I'm in this all the way. You see, God knows our hearts. God knows if we're just coming up to Him because we just want Him to get us out of our mess. Sometimes that's how I came. I don't know about you, but I was in a mess and I wanted God to get me out of that mess. Anybody else come to Jesus that way? I still need to come to Jesus that way. If I get in the mess, I just come to Jesus. Amen. But I had to come to a place where I realized, you know what? I need to repent. I need to change my mind about the way I've been going. I've been walking in my ways, and my way, or self-will, is the way of death. And from now on, I'm going to follow Jesus. And when God sees your heart, and that you're not just giving Him lip service, but you mean business in your heart, that's when you are born again. That's when things change. Isn't it right?
That is correct.
Well, I don't know how many times we've had people in through the years and just coming down to the altars, you know, in different places. And they were sorry they got caught, or they're in a mess and they needed God's help. But they didn't want the God of the help. They just wanted the help. There are a lot of people that will come to church just because they want something from God, but they don't want God. Do you understand? That's not repentance, folks. What did Jesus die for? He died so that we can be reunited with the Father. Amen? That we can be brought back into fellowship with Him. That's what it's all about. A new creation, a son of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. When the Apostle Paul was on Mars Hill in Athens, he encountered a people who were constantly redefining themselves and their culture based upon the latest philosophies of the day. And they just were constantly looking for, hear me, the new thing. And, you know, folks, unfortunately, our society is just like that. We're constantly looking for the new thing, and we don't want the old thing. Sometimes the old thing is the right thing, but we want the new thing. We want to reestablish boundaries. We want to move those old ancient landmarks because I don't like where it's sitting right now. I don't like that boundary. So I will just simply move it. Understand, folks, that thieves are the ones who will move boundary stones. So anytime a boundary is being moved or things are being twisted or adjusted to fit you and not to fit Christ, there's a rat. Satan is involved. Satan wants you and I to establish our own boundaries. Well, I don't like that church because they make me, they challenge me. They make me feel bad about myself. Come on. You have to feel bad first before you can feel good. But we don't want to make people feel bad because then we won't be popular. Come on. Do you realize that Jesus offended everybody? Everybody, read it. His mother, his disciples, the people, the Pharisees. Jesus offended everybody. But Jesus loved those people like nobody ever did. He's the love of God. Amen. He is God. But he offended people because he spoke the truth. And the darkness does not comprehend the truth. It resists, it rejects it. But if we have a heart that is willing to say, yes, Lord, I want to know what is real. I don't want to be deceived anymore. I don't want to walk in darkness anymore. I'm willing to receive your truth that my life might be full of your light. So Jesus offended people even to the degree that when things were going good and, you know, the food was free flowing, you know. Hey, I'm with Jesus. But when the chips were down, where was everybody? One day they're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the next day, crucify, crucify, you know. That's how quickly crowds can change. Do you understand that we are never to base our lives upon what the crowd says and what the crowd is doing, but upon the timeless, unchangeable Word of God? His Word is the boundary, amen, that protects us. His Word is like the banks of the river that keeps that river flowing, amen, in a beautiful direction where it can be useful. And yet, if we take out those banks, we just said, I don't know if I like those boundaries right there. We want power, but I don't know about the boundaries of holiness. Then you have a flood. Then you have destruction. Then you get into the demonic. Do you know that witchcraft, all witchcraft is really it's illegal power. It's illegal. All power comes from God. Why? Because he created all things, including Lucifer himself. So when people operate in witchcraft, they're operating illegally. It's not under the authority of God. And so if we take those boundaries out, we take those banks of that river out, we've got a flood, a destructive flood. And I've got to tell you, folks, I'm shocked. I'm shocked at what I'm seeing, especially among the youth culture today. And the stuff that's going on even in churches where people have gotten so far off course that they're getting into, you know, mantras and New Age techniques and, you know, visualization techniques and doing the very same things that the shamans do and the witch doctors do and people who are in the occult do. And they're calling it Holy Spirit. And tonight I'll talk more about that. I've got more to this message, but I can give you examples and people that I've known, people I've talked to, and people that are having so-called visions. Folks, I believe God gives dreams and visions. Are you hearing me? But I'm telling you that some people are using techniques to get visions from God. They're using techniques to so-called go to heaven. And I want to tell you, they're getting a delusion. They're being sent a strong delusion. Why? Because they're climbing up some other way. They're not coming through the way, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says we are to seek God. Amen. We are to seek His grace. But we are not to seek signs and wonders. If we seek the Lord, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. And I'm all for it. Jesus, we want the authentic. We want the real. We want heaven coming down. We want to see people set free. Amen. Healed and delivered. But we're not going to go our own way. We're going to listen to you. Amen. And we're going to seek your heart. And know your mind and know your will and do it your way. If God establishes the church, it will stand. If He builds it, it'll stand. How many here would agree that the Word of God is true? Amen. That your Bible is true? And if you do it God's way, you'll be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Because God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing.
Yes.
But He cannot bless you if you're not willing to get in the position for the blessing.
Amen.
You got to get into position. You need to submit yourself to God. Kings and priests, amen? They were anointed by God. Prophets, priests, and kings in the Old Testament, they had to what? They had to bow and get into position before the anointing oil would be poured. Hear me. You need to submit yourself, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Amen? Get into position. That means, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to listen to your voice. Your Lord, I am not. I'm no longer going to be Lord of my life. I don't dare be Lord of my life anymore. I want to follow you, Jesus, because you said your sheep hear your voice and you give them eternal life. You know them. Bow yourself. Get into position. Repent of your ways and let God lift you up. And then the Father reaches down His hand and He lifts you up. Amen. In His power and His authority, and it will be pure, and it will destroy the works of darkness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.